Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. As you're listening to this, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of creative people come together to celebrate the love of the written word and our family together. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the January 11th, 2019 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting here across from the man who keeps everything moving. I think his toes are always doing something very important. It's kind of like an Irish step dancer that way. Hello, JT. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing very, very well. Good week?
Yeah. Busy.
All right. Good. I had the exact same experience. It is the last, technically, if we're looking at liturgical seasons, this is the last Friday of the Christmas season. We have a beautiful snowstorm outside.
Yes, we do.
We also have someone else here in the studio. JT, would you like to introduce?
My wonderful and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wife.
What'd you do, JT?
No kidding. I'm like, whoa. No. I'm like, I was worried that you were starting to skip.
Well, no, I was kind of missing
Michael, go over there and reboot.
Control alt delete.
The audience has no idea, but she did leave town for a week and came back in today.
It was a secret recon mission.
It was a secret recon mission.
Well, it was secret until I showed up.
Well, yeah.
And that's
usually how those missions work.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
The Navy SEALs aren't a secret after they show up either.
James Bond. Well, we know they're here.
Or if you're Pierce Brosnan Bond, everywhere you go explodes.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I'm going to have to apologize to our Michigan listeners that I didn't have time to set up a meet and greet and hang out with them since
you were there on a mission of love with your family. So.
Yeah. So, first time I've been back to Southgate, well, back to Michigan since I was like 12.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd been that long.
Yeah. And it was really weird because I showed up and I was driving and, like, you know, nobody had to drive me around.
Pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it was weird because then you have to actually pay attention to where you're going.
Right. You're like, oh, I need to turn here. Yeah.
So...
But we're happy to have you back.
Yes.
I'm glad and glad you're able to join us. Yeah, you got back earlier today, right?
Yep.
Did you pick her up?
Yes, I did, right after work.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
So
yeah, the whole flight in was all through cloud. So it was a little creepy.
Yeah, I kinda like that though at the same time. It kinda allows you for a moment to just delude yourself into the fact that, you know, maybe that's all there is.
Well, you know what I get what I get in my head is from Airplane. The fin dun.
Oh, that's through the clouds. About the shark
fin.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the very beginning.
Why didn't I think of that? That's
because
brilliant.
Then it comes up.
That's all I could think about was just playing
forgot about
Baby
that
Shark.
Do,
do, do, do.
Yeah, but they changed the melody to that. They made it all major now. But it's gigantic. It is one of the largest kind of cultural YouTube things, especially with kids. That's the only reason I know about it.
You mean it moved Narwhal?
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Big time.
Wow.
Big time. We're at my third grade's actually singing it at the spring concert. Yeah, and they all know it already.
Well,
so
okay.
Well done, teacher.
I didn't teach them that.
Shh.
They knew that.
Take the credit. Take the credit.
I'm not taking the credit for that.
Man,
I already got
in
so much trouble after.
I
got in a lot of trouble after teaching this class specifically, the song that never ends. And they were singing it on a field trip on the bus, and the bus driver pulled the car over and roared the bus and refused to drive it if they didn't stop singing it. And I got in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way to stop kids.
Were they singing?
I'm not going to take you back to school.
Were they singing something that I taught them in music class?
Yes,
that's my question.
Yes, they were.
There you go.
I am all on your side.
All right,
sir,
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I think they're doing what they were taught.
Well, you know? I work on that.
That's right.
Sonic terrorism. Okay. So, we're going to have a great show tonight. Hey, really quickly, I want to throw something in. The 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology is up. It is available on Amazon. You can click on it, actually on our main page there. If you haven't yet and you want to support the show, consider buying a copy. It is, you know, something that just really goes back towards paying for the expenses of the show, the website, and the hosting and all that stuff. And we definitely appreciate it. All right, so tonight we have some cool things lined up.
Yes,
we're going to do we're gonna have some great poetry. Obviously, we're gonna have some Studio X.
Da, 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 da.
We are going to have the next three clues for our poet of the month.
You know, the only reason why that button survived is because I wasn't here this week to fix it.
Say so. So next, you can get one of those ergonomic keyboards that doesn't have that button.
No, I'm just going to change all the buttons around.
or just record all new things. So
of us just
it,
going.
Like, or you hit it, it's no, JT, no.
Hey, gurk.
All right. And we're basically just going to have a good time and connect. And I think this is cool. Yes. This is a great thing for a snowy night here in Denver, Colorado. So before we get into the first call-in segment, let me get to the rules. Rule number one, no hate speech. We don't do that on the show. We never have and never will. Number two, please skew PG-13 if you can with your work. We are not in the business of censorship. We don't like doing that. However, we want to make this a safe space for children and for families who love poetry to be able to come in and engage as well. We reserve the right, if it gets a little too over the top, to jump in and suggest you read during our After Dark segment, which we have the first Friday of every month. Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared. Have your poem ready so we're not having to wait. It gets really awkward, and I am not responsible for what comes out of my mouth if we're waiting for those things to happen. Rule number four, please keep your poem under, 3 to 5 minutes. It's pretty easy to figure out if it's going to be longer than that. It's just out of respect to the other poets. We want to be able to keep things moving. I've listened to the show separately from not being in the studio before, and it's real easy to fall asleep if you're waiting because it gets really just, like, there's the rhythm, there's the poetry, things are calm.
Yeah.
Let's not have people falling asleep on the air. We've already had that happen many times before.
Sure.
We have. We've actually had that happen multiple times. Multiple times on the air.
None of us, though.
Because everybody was reading over 5 minutes. I'm just kidding. All right. And the last rule. We love your comments and suggestions. That's what helps our show grow. Problem is, JT and I, probably not Christine, but JT and I, we're ADD AF. So we're not going to remember what you say on the show. So please just save it. Send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or in the contact form. That's the way we'll get it. We'll actually talk about it during a meeting. We'll figure out how we can incorporate the idea. However, if you're running into any sound issues or anything like that during the show, if everybody's sound cuts out, say something in the chat room. I'll see you here, and we'll be able to communicate that way. All right, anything else anybody wants to add before we go into the call-in segment? Christine?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm
good. JT, you good?
I'm good.
Okay, cool. So we're going to go for the first 5 unique callers tonight. People brought in the order in which the call is received. If you don't get through, give a call. And then once you see in the chat room we've reached number 5, then you'll just know that it's going to be the next segment. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. And bringing us out of that segment with a song from the Batman soundtrack, by Prince, of course, called Party Man, is it not?
It is.
Called Party Man, yes.
Party Man.
That was JT. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being patient. It was actually a software issue, and they have a tendency to, on this particular computer, they have a tendency for some reason to always update, no joke, right in the middle of the show.
On a Friday night.
And if there's any way we can mess with that.
I've already done that.
It just doesn't.
It just doesn't listen to me.
It's like a kid.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to beat this thing into submission here soon.
Okay, cool. You and I with the sleds hammer after this.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Anyway, all right.
I am not cleaning that up.
We got this. We got this thing worked out now. We've got five great callers lined up, and in fact, let's just get into it.
You got it.
Let's go right into our first caller here. It's Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
We got this. Everything worked out now. We've got five.
Yeah.
Hello, you are on. How's it going?
Okay, yeah, but I can't accept your apology because I wasn't patient. I pulled all my hair out.
Oh, no. I did that a long time ago. But I'll tell you, life, once you don't have to worry about your hair, it's actually all right.
Well, I did more than that. I tore up all my clothes.
Oh, come on. Mama, do you think you might have overreacted just a bit?
Well, I think I should have did like Trump and just walked out. Instead
of gotcha. I'm done.
It's the emperor has no clothes, Mama, but the emperor is the only one telling everybody he's wearing clothes.
Okay, here we go. It's called Como Rabi, and I've read this before, but Christine didn't get to hear it. Hi, Christine.
Hi, honey.
Okay, so it goes like this. It's a Japanese word. Because I couldn't find a word that meant light that comes through the cover of trees in English. So I found it in Japanese, and a name that means the light that comes through the cover of trees is called Komorebi. And that's the name of the poem. It goes like this. The land where poems were made. Chorus of sounds mutter iambically, especially forming tongues throughout the ages, to give birth to rhyme in metered rages, ancient rants bellow from the depths of hollowed souls, needing to be refueled as a lamp that all too quickly burned its wick. So yes, I toss and turn with loads of puns unsought, and words dance wildly in my sleepless mind, yet drifting bass backwards through the woods and the weeds of thought. Ah, yes, I am chasing dreams and nightmares too, hoping doors will open in the whimsical worlds in time, that I may be the wise woman that writes the poem, whose poetic flute plays the tunes that pied the poet's mind. Mims leading them to that open space where the light shined through the cover of trees, where ditties and missives are the leaves that glisten, where rhymes and poems nod and dance in the breeze and hang like wisdom's fruit of grand poetic trees. We pluck, we eat, we deliver that which we seek to write. Nostrils filled with intoxicating air, we sigh deep, remembering Komorebi, when finally and peacefully, now we sleep in peace.
Very strong lead off, Mama. Christine, what'd you think?
I just love listening to her read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do, too. We have for a while now. We love it.
Mm-hmm. God bless. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mama. Appreciate you. And that was Mama Oladeji leading us off here, calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Man, that wasn't a lead. That was a kickoff.
Yeah, that's right. Through.
Through the uprights.
Through the uprights in another stadium.
All the way in California.
Yep. See that?
Wow.
Now we're going to Connecticut, the land of enchantment, to talk with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm angry at my computer because I had maybe it just heard me. Yeah, the poem I want to read is on my pages, and pages is not cooperating. It's there it is. Okay, so it's still not cooperating. Anyway, I'm moving. It turned off. Okay. So the poem I want to read is, it's one I wanted to read last week, and I wanted to read it on Nyla's program and couldn't get on. And I don't think I read it last week for some reason. I don't think I read The Year Unfolds, right? You didn't hear that one, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the one I want to read, and that's the one I need to get. So anyway, I'll just tell you a little bit about my day while my computer gets the poem. I went to the eye doctor to get a checkup after almost 5 years. It is 5 years. And happy to say that my vision is still perfect, you know, after I had two cataract surgeries, and my vision is still perfect. But going to the eye doctor at my age, I don't know if you've ever been to the eye doctor like this, but it's not a fun experience. They dilate your eyes. And then...
All right, Barbara, really quick. Not to cut you off here.
I know. I'm trying to find
So we're going to do this.
Okay.
We're going to do this. We're going to move to George. We're going to keep you on the line. Find it. We'll come back later. Because we want to make sure you have it ready. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and that was a mild hiccup with Barbara, but she's taking care of it. We're going to get ready to head over to George in Michigan. Hello, George. How's it going? I think we just dropped it on George here.
Surprise!
He's like, ah!
I'm going to the eye doctor.
Oh, there's a bit of a lag.
That's
there.
A bit of a delay, yeah.
Okay. Well, just give him a second.
Yeah. Hopefully he's out there somewhere.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Out there. Ground control to Major Tom. All right.
Maybe we should.
Oh, my goodness. What is happening?
I think he went and made popcorn.
He might have.
Well, that's fair.
Oh.
George?
Hello.
Hey, George.
Hi, George.
We dropped this on you, my friend.
Surprise.
That's all right.
All right.
I'm always following somebody that I can't compare with, and so this time, I guess I say the same thing. You know, I'm following Mama again, just like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's so good. But I'm all right. I'm all right. I just have to break. I just have a real quick news release from my town here. This doesn't take much news to make the news around here. And the latest one was yesterday where my town's police were reported there was a man crawling around on storm sewers and manholes. And they found this young man drunk down in a manhole, and he wouldn't come out. They finally pulled him out, but he wouldn't say why he was there. And I got to thinking, I've heard of being, you know, smashed or shit-faced. But this is a whole new level of being called manhole drunk. If you're manhole drunk, you're drunk.
You know, you're right. That is a whole other level.
That actually happened in my town last night, I guess it was.
We had someone, the George. We can compete. I think it was in Denver, but it got started getting picked up and carried by the national stuff. There was a video, I believe, that was outside of someone's house of a guy who came up and licked their doorbell for 3 hours.
Yep.
Oh, I did it.
Yeah. You can imagine the comments on that news story.
Yeah, and it was one of those rings, so you could just imagine all you see is ow, ow, ow.
Anyway, all right.
Go for it, my darling.
Okay, because Christmas just got over, I'm going to read sort of a you might say schmaltzy. What I call my rose-hearted pieces, a little bit on the schmaltzy side. This is called When the Poinsettia is Wilted. He traced his fingertips across the last Christmas card before putting it away amongst things he'll likely never see. He stuffed the decorations in the big old shabby box, which he always used, for replacing it would be blasphemy. Dragging stuff down from the attic and then putting them all back later was as customary as the pretense of keeping Yuletide Brotherhood alive. For him, this huge holiday was less an act of faith as it was an inheritance, an obligation to myths to which he would always strive. The season had been commendable, free of vanity or family struggle. The joy was measurable, the food commensurate, the wine was fine. Again, he'd spent money he didn't have on people he didn't especially like. But that was a lifelong de rigueur and really quite benign. Crazy Uncle Herbert died and left him naked, for from now on, he alone must be the Christmas dinner fool. And every respectable Yuletide feast must have one. He'd need to work on heresy, impertinence, and ridicule. It's hard to cast the holiday away, for that becomes a cost. The fee we pay is dimming charity. The results are often tragic. Replaced by renewed greed, the daily rush, and avarice. Old Christmastide, you did not hide. We put you in the attic. And peace.
I really liked that one, George. I really did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But now you have to do one about manhole covers and. Not a Christmas one about those.
They said he had an old beat up olive green hoodie on and he wouldn't lift his head up and look at them. And then he grabbed hold of him somehow and pulled him out. And then he still wouldn't talk. But there were beer cans all around him. And I'm wondering what the hell he was looking for. Maybe somebody told him that the brewery was down there under
Yeah.
But anyway, it was it's wonderful southeastern Michigan town, you know. So
no kidding.
Okay.
All right.
I'll move away and I'll be back.
All right. Well, thank you, George. We will talk to you in the return engagement, hopefully.
Sure.
All right. Great. Thank you. And that was George Collin from Michigan here. Now he took the place or kind of jumped in with where Barbara was kind of having some computer issues. Now it looks like she's ready to go. So we're going to pop back over to Barbara, and then we're just going to get back on track after that. All right, here we go. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, Michael.
All right.
Sorry.
You get that computer working?
My computer was just, it was doing that awful, you know, rainbow wheel of death thing constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't moving.
We have nothing. We don't know anything about having to have a computer update or do something when it's time to be on the air. We know nothing about that, Barbara.
Nope, nothing.
Nothing at all.
No, it's just, it's making me crazy, my computer lately. So I just, anyway, this I wrote, I guess I read it. I read it again, but I'll read it again. This was The Year Unfolds, and I read it again. I'll read it again because it's really good. It's called The Year Unfolds.
The year is unfolding, moments still pleated together, as tight as one of the ornate fans I love to collect, unfolding each slowly to savor the beauty within each fold. So the year begins, still a small child, only 5 days old, yet already has its own personality, a fight here, a precious moment there, reminding me of the beauty of life. Sharing my thoughts with friends and bonding in the experience of our acceptance of each other, though our words for the work we have shared are not always positive, but we have learned and shared, and isn't that what life is about? And even in the bloom of this youthful year, I have felt the pain of your loss again, as it reminds me that one more year has passed and you are not here. And the activities I do cannot end the sorrow of never sharing them with you. Hope is still alive in these early days as anticipation for moments still to come create motivation to succeed and wonder at what these might be as I remember the scintillating, sparkling, delightful ones of last year, now pressed in an invisible scrapbook where memories go to be preserved. And I feel somehow you will browse through these, awaiting the arrival of next year's never-to-be-forgotten experiences. And in that thought, I feel a connection, as if the cosmos were conveying our love on a transparent spiritual network. And maybe what you see creates the smile I miss most. End poem.
Barbara, those pieces that you read are, especially about, this type of poem is so resonant for us, especially after having, having known you for as long as we have now with you calling in and everything. And, I hope the people who are in support of you and really can empathize with what you're talking about.
Oh, well, thank you, and I'm sorry that I made you, just wait for that, but I'm glad that I got to. I thought I might have read it on January 5th, but if I didn't, I don't know. I wrote it on my post, and then so much is happening in the world, so much is happening in my life that it's hard to keep track. And it's hard to remember if I read it or not. So,
sure.
Hate to be,
you're all right.
Repetitive.
You're
but,
all right.
Okay. All right. Take care, and I'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to you later. In the return. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
And
bye-bye.
Goodbye. That was Barbara Collin from Connecticut. Finally got that down. I'm glad we waited for that one, too, because that was good. All right. Now.
Moving right along.
We're going to be going to a place... Christine, I don't know if you're aware of this. This place is the birthplace of, no joke, the enamel-footed bathtub. That's the truth.
Hello.
Hey, hello, Philip. How are you, sir?
I am well. I've missed you guys.
Yes, we missed you as well. Now, have you come out of hiding from the end of the year there?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Understandable,
you don't need to listen to myself turn myself into a victim. So, but I have certainly recovered, and I had a couple of dear hearts from World Poetry Open Mic ask about me, and that's always a sweet thing, at least
Absolutely.
According to Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
I've been on that set. It was in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah.
I was on that set. Yeah.
Anyway, I believe you.
Anyway, yeah.
Yes, I doubt you nothing, sir.
Oh, no, doubt. Doubt.
I also got some beachfront property in Idaho, Philip. We should talk.
Very good. Yes, well, happy belated New Year to all of you, including you, Christine. I hear that you're in this studio tonight, and you've been much missed, and, you really elevate the show of these two scoundrels.
We need all the help we can get. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I will get to it, and it's nice to be well received by you all. Thank you. So here we go. it's a new piece. The title, Angelic Sotto Voce. And here we go. Winter sun's darkened firmament outstretched, numbers and luminous geometry overflows a covenant. At ease with restful silence, its final lesson anticipated, with the taste of bread and melted rime, delicately fragrant. Through the elongated white, arched ceilings of imbued innocence, stones unearthed beneath sung lamentations, crops replaced by corpses, planted row after era, gray overgrown green, vines and leaves, preserved by common brine, at rest at these depths at last, merciful forgetting, a solemn invitation. Feel the dawn press its soft reflection against water undisturbed. And there it is, fellers. And lady.
Philip. Philip, we missed your work. Yes. Man.
And, well, thank you so much.
It really means a lot to have you back. And we're
happy
you made it through, man.
Thank you. Hope you can hear my blood. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, so now do you want us to give you the address to send that check to, since they're giving you all those compliments?
I know, right? I blush loudly. You can hear me coming through the through the airwaves there. No, I really Lexi and I, that's my lady, we have actually handed out several of the anthologies to friends as Christmas gifts. So, you know, even though I was absent, you guys were with me, and I'm happy to contribute. So, anyways, enough of this blather. On to the next poet. Get me off the stage.
We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip.
I have missed him.
Con from Kentucky. Oh, Philip's. Yeah, it's lovely. Any of the callers we're seeing here, it really is a thing that when someone's gone for a period of time, you really miss them.
Yeah.
It really becomes a thing. And it's Philip is one of those people. Everyone in this category, I would put under that. So or under the segment, I mean. Oh, here's someone that I know absolutely loves you, Christine. Do you want to introduce her?
Sure.
All right.
So we got coming from, I think it's like 60 degrees today down there in Arizona, with Miss Mary, Mary, it's on our minds. Da,
da, da, da. Oh, Lordy. Oh, Mama, Annie M, who's here? Who's here, Mama? Hey, I love you, Christine. I love you till the day I expire.
Well, I hope that's a long time.
No, I ain't dreaming of it. I am not even, it's not really there tonight. How are you guys?
Doing very, very well. Thank you.
Staying warm?
Yeah, number five came up so quickly, and then Philip, and then I got to just be on.
Well, we did a 1, 2, 3, 2, 4, 5 thing.
All right. On that note, I'm going to try to read my little poem and then put it to little verse, and I sang little songs tonight out, and I'm not going to say how I did. I think I flutter a little bit too high. Mm-hmm. Even the good musicians, and I have good musicians around me, they say I flutter too high. When I settle down, then I'll be good. Anyway, this is my poem for you, and I'm going to put it to words. How is everyone? Fly me over there with you. I bend to the moon, sweet, and craters too. And all the stars now make me blue. Fly me to your open space. Fly me over there. Fly me over there with you. And our time lasts forever. For castaways are found again. And the smiles come back on our faces from within. Fly me over there. Fly me over there where I feel beautiful in the strength of your broken heart. Strong and budget. And your heart's beat, my heart's beat, and you feel how I love you forever. Fly me over there. Yeah, fly me over there. Take me where the lies don't come, where the realness of you is found. We see each other clearly. And you still love me. And I still love you. Fly me over there. Fly me over there, fly me over there, and wild, stay a while, short eternity. And then my love, you may fly again, as you wish you are as free with me. For I own no cages now, and loving has always been free for the brave. Brave. Just love me real, my love. Just I love you. Just see me. Just see me when you love me. It's not a tender touch as sweet, but it's not a tender touch as
beautiful as always, Mary. Thank you. I've heard the development here.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've heard the development here since.
Development.
Yeah,
that's
no.
That's what we're talking about.
When you first started playing. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, it's, and I your expression is becoming more free. You're becoming more, you're being able to connect to who you are, I think, a little bit more through your musicality now and your performance here. And not that you weren't before, but I'm hearing it grow. Your powers are growing. and
Michael,
so.
Do you know how naked I feel as I sit out here and as I go out in public? I really don't even want to share how bad it is. I really want to just crawl in my little psychotic hole and never go out again. But it's so satisfying to try to share yourself.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So that's what I do, and that's what I do in public, and that's what people that I love tell me as well, is that they're seeing more of me. But it's not easy, and don't think it's easy as a musician, and God knows it's not easy as a writer, because I'll never be a writer. Never. No, never, ever, ever. Not like you guys. Not like the one we heard before and some of you. Yeah. And Chaucer. And I'm not going to go on. Bye.
All right, Mary.
All right, Mary. I was just going to let you keep digging yourself into that one. All right,
no,
thank you, Mary. We love you.
Don't do it.
All right. We love you, Mary. We'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully, okay? And that was Mary Collin from Arizona rounding out our first
segment. Stop making my Mary blush.
That sounds like a type of a wine.
Oh, yeah.
Mary blush.
Mary blush. Ooh.
See?
Write that down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Write it down.
I can't. I'm doing something right now.
Oh.
I'm
going to say that's even kind of
a cool
name for a band. Mary's blush.
At what point can you call yourself, this is a question, it's not only for Mary, but for everyone else in the chat room, just real quick, if you're wondering about what to talk about here, at what point can you call yourself a writer? I had a really hard time calling myself a musician for a long time, because in my mind a musician was like this big thing that I was, or that, I would have to become, and I never thought I was that. It was actually until I was making a living doing it before I ever decided to kind of own that. But I was doing it way before. And I think being a writer is kind of the same thing. Whatever our definitions are probably very different. Some people are like, you write and you put stuff out, you're a writer. Just like, I'm not a poet. And I had someone go, you have a poetry book out, yeah? Yeah. you do. Really, you're not?
Right.
You know, it's like, no.
You are.
Good point. Yeah, but see, I don't, I feel like what Mary says, I don't really think I'm actually a poet, though.
Maybe it's not for you to decide.
I think that's right. There's a lot of truth there. There's a lot of truth.
I'm not a writer. I'm a typer.
Wow.
You're a typist. All right. All right, here we go. So at the end of the first segment, we want to always share, well, in the first few weeks of the month, we share three clues to the identity of a poet that we're talking about that month.
Oh, God. Here it comes.
So this is the three clues for this month's speculative poet. Clue number one. Ecstasy so reckless. Clue number two. Hey, big spender.
Sounds like somebody likes raves.
And clue number three. Lays sublime at St. John Divine. And those were our three clues the second week for this month's Poet in Waiting. Poet of the Month. Oh, that was fun. Okay, anyway, so it is time now for the next five callers. We got this phone system worked out now. This is going to be a breeze.
Yes.
Five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
And it's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton, and this is the word of the day. The word of the day is stodge. It's a verb. It means to stuff full, especially with food or drink, to gorge. In 1972, I'd just been married to what I thought would be the love of my life, number 15 for me and second for her. I thought we were a dream come true. Was I right? Nah, I was dead wrong. Turned out, while I was in Greece for the principal photography of the Wicker People with Burt Lancaster, she found a little love nest of her own, the corner booth of Spago, where she would stodge herself with L.A.'s finest corn dogs. No, not the cheesy wannabe Shakespeare's trying to peddle a new script, but actual corn dogs. When I came back, the addiction was complete, and our relationship was no more. When we last spoke, I lifted her chin gently to me to say goodbye, but instead, I had to wipe away a small smear of ketchup. I'll always miss her. And this has been Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton, and it's been the word of the day. All right, and we're back here in the second segment. I want to give a huge thanks to Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton for doing that drop for us.
That was wonderful.
It was a huge get.
It was.
He is a legend in Hollywood.
Yeah, he sounds it.
Yeah, he sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
All right, so we are now going to head straight into the calls. We're going to go across the pond to the UK. I think Charlie Pinkerton had some exploits there as well, but
probably.
We're going to go to, let's go to Titus now in the early morning. Hello, Titus.
Good morning.
How are you? Well, that's brilliant, actually. How are you?
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah, not too bad.
Wonderful. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, much better, thanks.
Perfect.
But there was a big shuffle at work where the I mean, these apartments are talking. You're talking about millions of pounds, but a new freeholder has come in and bought the freehold. In turn, has also asked another company to come in, erasing my own. So, my own company have actually put me somewhere else. So, I'm going to be starting maybe on the 2nd of February.
No kidding! Wow.
No, it's not a career change. It's just transferring to another site, really.
Is it going to be a big change in your commute and everything, your lifestyle?
what I will say is there are more residents where I'm going. So the few that are with me, I can be a personal assistant. But when there's many, you can't. So that's it's going to be more impersonal. That's the only thing.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we wish you the best of luck, sir.
Thank you. Well, I've been separating a lot of my lengthy poems, and I've just splitting them up now. This one's called Honeysuckle. If you've got any in your garden, it's a lovely, lovely fragrance. This is an acrostic, Honeysuckle. It's dedicated to the watercolour artist and poet Christina Pelton. She's kindly sending me a poem. She's painting a picture for me and going to send it to me. I don't know if that's just a hot air, but maybe, let's hope. She's got a lovely painter. But anyway, here I go. Honesty, bearing truth in love's tranquility sifting, orbs in caress to each other, obviously so drifting, nonchalant in ways, close at heart, with an aim endeared to be loved, for what reasons now lifting. Yonder, fragrance can for the time being proclaim something of the years I can no doubt make pretty. Uncertainty features the strength to get us through, caution to extend a smile if what seems an eternity. Kind heart, you keep sweetness fulfilled like virtue. Liaise without aught, we encourage love's keeping. Effortless are dreams, you offer us lighter sleeping. End of poem. Thank you.
And Titus, the as always, you know, it's uniquely yours, which yeah. is a compliment. It's a sincere compliment, you know, and we love it.
It's strange. I'm beginning to see now when I get time, I comment on people's poems on the site here. And they come back and say, "Oh, I'm blessed that you read and you commented." Yeah. I'm thinking, well, you know, it kind of like puts me into a little shockwave there when I get that. It's sure. Weird. Yeah.
Well, I think you always hear that we're always our worst critics, and I think that combined with we're always our worst critics mixed with no one's a prophet in their hometown is a real potent thing that we have to fight back against. But just know that there's a lot of people who listen to this, whether they're on or they listen to the podcast, which there's quite a bit more, then we all really appreciate you and your work and you calling us and sharing it.
Well, like with my writing, I take it very seriously once I get into it. Yeah. And with my comments as well, I don't just go niffy-niffy and just say something just sweet and short.
Yeah,
I'm in depth. And I kind of like give them a little bit where they could make it a bit better. I don't try to smut it, but I just try to just give them a little help. But most of all, 90% of it is pretty promising. So they're quite happy about that.
Yeah.
Well,
I would be as well.
Yeah, I would.
Anyway, thank you, sir. We're very appreciative of you. Thank you.
See you. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Titus leading us off here, calling from the UK to kick it off. Now, the natural stud from the UK, I don't know if you know this, JT.
Yes.
Is Alabama, for so many reasons. And if you don't know, well, you just need an education.
Okay.
Let's go now to Stan in Alabama. That was a clunky intro.
Oh,
hey,
that's
Stan.
A natural step. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. How are you, sir? How's it going?
That's about as natural as a pig wearing a tutu.
Tell me that's not natural.
So that ain't natural.
All right, you got a point.
It's fun, it's amusing, but it ain't natural.
Actually, that might be a shirt I should have. Amusing, but not natural.
There you go. That would make it so great. You know, that could be a critic's critique of a musical. It was amusing, but it wasn't natural.
I didn't believe a single time they broke out in song that could happen in real life. Anyway. All right. So what do you have for us?
I was given permission by Mr. George Wiley to read the piece he did for the Hurt Locker when we were on the subject of loss.
All right.
And this is the one that we led the program off with. This is the one I used as a lead-in. And if I can get hold of James, I'm going to use his, probably in the return engagement, but I haven't gotten hold of him yet, and nobody seems to know what's up with James.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead with George's for now. And he did a wonderful, wonderful little piece here. It's called, Is There an App for Goodbye? I lost some people last year and not ready to ask why. The answers aren't abundantly clear. Is there an app for goodbye? They left a hole in my life. Technology doesn't tell me why. At least they're gone from this strife, but is there an app for goodbye? When they're stopped before their time and had not yet accessed their sky, and simple faith does not define, is there an app for goodbye? End piece by Mr. George Wiley.
You know, I read he had posted that earlier this last week, I think, and I just thought it was a really powerful thing, and I'm glad you read it, Stan. George, great job, great read.
Yes, and I cannot thank him and James enough for submitting. That was quite a pleasant honor.
Wonderful. Wow, wonderful.
And gentlemen, on to the next.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and we'll see you in the return engagement, hopefully.
Oh, of course.
All right. Looking forward to it. That was Stan calling from Alabama.
From number Bama.
Two, Alabama.
Not just Bama.
All the Bamas.
All the Bamas.
So this is where we get most of the drops, yeah. Is this kind of thing.
Yep. Thankfully, just, this is all recorded.
But JT can edit those usually. But when we do them live, oh boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
People don't like to see how sausages are made. Okay, so let's now go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Oh, yes. Thank you. It's Friday night, I'm here, and I'm in the house.
All right, and the phones are working. We're just so happy.
Yay.
Oh, man. How's everything out by
all
you?
Right.
How's everything doing out by you?
Everything's well. I'm well and blessed, my friend.
Very good.
I'm thankful.
Wonderful. We love hearing that. Love hearing that.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I get to follow Titus.
Yeah, I know.
Stanley reading George. Oh, man.
Yeah. Easy stuff, right? It's a layup.
Ain't right. But anyway, I'll give it my best shot.
All right.
The poem I have to read tonight, the title is The Kitchen. And it's written in quatern form, which a quatern uses a line as a refrain that rotates through the four stanzas. So I'll leave it at that. And here we go, the kitchen. The kitchen is a nurturing place where love supplies nutritious meals. With comfort foods found in this space, hurts are repaired so they may heal. We gather there and share our lives. The kitchen is a nurturing place. With care, we use our forks and knives. New conversations we embrace. But everyday cares become a rat race. Seeing each other only in passing. The kitchen is a nurturing place, and its neglect will soon be amassing. Once a haven for family ties, the bond we had will soon erase. Our need for each other slowly dies, and the kitchen no longer a nurturing place. End of poem.
That was a powerful piece, Dennis. A lot of meaning in that. I can draw a lot of meaning in my own past, my own life with that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I was hoped to bring a Gehazel or whatever the name of that poet, poetry form of the month is. I think I've heard it pronounced Gehazel.
Has it been? I was trying to figure out the right pronunciation. I saw you say it last week. Then I want to check the pronunciation. Possibly said it wrong. Yeah,
I'll have to do some research too to see which one is the preferred. But I'll have to see what I can do in that form. If I can't whip one up, I know a person that writes a lot of them. Maybe I might read one of his.
Okay,
but I'll try. I try to add to the poetry form of the month so we can honor that form.
Lovely. Lovely. All right. Thank you.
Yes. And thank you so much. It's great having this platform that you provide for us. And we really are a family here. And
that's
it's
true.
It's a family reunion every Friday night, and it keeps getting better and better. And I want to let you know that we appreciate that. All of you, especially Christine.
Especially, yes.
Especially Christine. Yeah. I got to throw that in there so she doesn't want to sneak off again, you know. So no pressure, Christine, but we expect you every week now.
Oh, man.
but you're always welcome when you can make it. And yes. I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Yeah, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis Gaughan from Michigan. It's good hearing his voice.
Yes.
All right. Now, we lost the gentleman who just... who's coming up next here. So you want to give him a chance to call back
in?
He's
right there.
Oh, he's calling right in. Let's just go right now. Let's go to Don.
Awesome.
Hello, Don. Welcome, sir. Hello?
He's there.
Hello.
Hello, Don. How are you? We're on the air.
Oh, that's nice. My hair is wet. It needs air. I need air. Cough, cough. Hey, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Mispronunciation.
Yes.
It's all natural. And long-tongued tune to accompany doorbell liquors anonymous. And Mary's blush. The smile of a woman coming from a neighborhood so Dublin. Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, thank you. That nice. Was good. I like those.
Wow.
I have a poem. It's a bad poem. We were told to write a bad poem for an assignment in the poetry class that I'm in. And so I'm bringing this. It's called An Accident of Rhyme. I do not verse two lines together like sexual bondage gone terse. From the other hand, I do not wave in a way which would slander any apple as the very worst since Eve exposed Adam's fathering gaff. If I have thrifted your extremes and left you deep in a muddle, then middle along with the rest of us, but do not stand and talk doodle. When standing high in the average, sty your eye on what's ahead. Lived life shortens goal sight, while nearer vision diets love overweight. End poem.
Well, Don, I suppose should I say that's a bad poem? Because I didn't necessarily think so. I enjoyed it, but.
I'm caught in the vice of something.
As am I.
I don't know what to do. I know what to do. Good night.
Good night, Don.
Good night, Don.
Thank you, sir. That was Don calling from California. Always love it when he calls. Now, there are some states that are antonyms to each other. There are some that are synonyms to each other. This, I don't know what to call this. California to North Dakota. Let's go to Emily in North Dakota.
There are antonyms to each other. There are some that are synonyms to each other.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing pretty well today. Thank you very much.
Happy to hear that. How's the weather there?
It is bitter cold. Ooh. We have ice on top of snow, so at least that's you know, there's like 2 inches of ice on the street. So it's thick and it's gross. And it's too cold, you know. Now, my face hurts.
Emily,
I gotta
ask you. You know, we live in Denver. It does get cold here, but it's not like that kind of cold. What the hell is wrong with you people? What?
We would rather get our face ripped off in the wind than sweat to death in like St. Louis August.
But I'll tell you, I've worked on a farm in North Dakota during the summer. And I sweated more than I did in the South. There.
Oh yeah.
And
no,
I got all the ticks.
No. Humidity in North Dakota is. I still look at people. I've been here 11 years, and I look at people and say, "What do you mean it's humid? It's 85% humidity. No, this is not humid. Talk to me when you go to St. Louis in August when you have 100% humidity and 98 degrees. Yeah, no.
98 degrees was a horrible band too. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Emily, I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay, this is a new poem that I'm kind of tweaking, and it's a spoken word piece. So the working title is Yes. Sometimes when I begin a poem with sometimes, I really mean always. I mean, sometimes always means never. Like when you ask again if I still love onions, I say always, but never do I say never because sometimes my food choices offend you, always when you're sometimes doing the cooking. So you say sometimes you hate me. Yes, sometimes people offend me too, like the white dude. It's always a white dude. Sometimes the white dude wears a backwards ball cap. It's always backwards. And the white dude calls 911 over bullshit. It's always bullshit. Like when Jordan was selling water in San Francisco, or when Reggie was mowing lawns in Ohio, or when Rashawn and Dante were sitting in Philadelphia Starbucks. It's always a Starbucks. So yes, sometimes I get offended. Usually, mostly when I'm venting about money. It's always about money, diapers or allergies, and some white girl is always a white girl. Sometimes a white girl wearing a kimono and an infinity scarf. It's always an infinity scarf. Sometimes a white girl tries to palm some random oils to me. It's always oils. And yes, sometimes I maybe get tired of hearing about the latest keto diet craze. It's always a diet craze. And sometimes maybe I get angry and frustrated and hyped over something I saw on Facebook. It's always Facebook. So I have to turn it off to keep my head. So obviously this is a little thing. It's always the little things. But the little things become big things, at least sometimes. I mean, sometimes maybe means yes, mostly might mean maybe, and almost maybe means maybe not. And never does the white dude in the backwards ball cap, it's always a ball cap. Never does the white dude call 911 for anything real, like calling 911 on Brock Turner, Heidi Weinstein, Brett Kavanaugh, or even if the white dude wearing the backwards ball cap does call 911 on a Brock or a Harvey or a Brett. It's always a Brock or a Harvey or a Brett. Even when the 911 call comes for something real, the white accused, he's always the accused, goes to court, maybe, sometimes, mostly, always with a high retainer lawyer, and mostly, usually, sometimes, maybe, they'll get off. They always get off. I understand that sometimes it's confusing. So, like I said, you say that sometimes you hate me, but never will you offend me by saying that sometimes you hate me, because you could never hate me, even sometimes, the way I always sometimes wonder if I am even a little, mostly, worth that. and poem.
You know, Emily, why don't you try standing up for this one? I don't know if there was enough passion in that. No, I enjoyed it very much. There's a lot of intensity there. I can see.
Yeah.
But
you
did enjoy it. Yeah, very much.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for calling and sharing it with us. Do you have another one you're going to share with us during the return engagement segment?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic.
I'm thrilled to share that the poem I'm going to share during the next. During the return engagement is actually part of a human rights arts festival.
Oh,
so
very
that's
cool.
Fantastic. So I'll share that one later.
Sounds awesome. We're looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Emily. We will talk to you during the return engagement then.
Beautiful.
All right. Wonderful. And that was Emily calling from North Dakota.
Emily got fierce.
Yeah, she did. Well, those,
I was ready for, you know, winter, somewhere in the back just going.
That winter weather has a real effect on people.
Well, yeah, when you're standing at the same four walls.
Well, and if you're in Minneapolis, there's actually a theory, seriously, that the reason that Minnesota seems to turn out musicians like Prince, Bob Dylan, whatever, is that they wouldn't go out. They'd stay at home and practice.
Well, yeah.
There's actually a huge, I mean, and in Minneapolis as well, apparently there's a huge, huge music scene there. Speaking of music, JT, Christine, you coming in the Hadrian Collider? We got to go to Studio X.
Oh.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
Get ready. We got to clinch.
Breathe in.
Clinched. I'm clinching. JT.
Okay. I am so sorry for the delay. I you can breathe.
Oh, okay.
Those kegels are paying off, though, I gotta say.
Dude, if you got kegels, we got problems.
Well, I mean, men can do kegel exercises.
Yeah.
This is not a conversation I expected to have
right
now.
Why does the bathroom say that it's still closed?
We
don't go in there.
Why?
We just don't.
Andy. Okay, so
who's in the bathroom still?
Wow. Stall 14. Okay. I'm going to do a few songs. Now, I had a song planned.
Yes.
But we're going to wait
on
that song.
And properly so.
Yeah, it is the right decision to wait on
the
specific song. So we're going to do a few. I haven't done in a little while.
Okay.
Why the hell not? So this one is written by John Jacob Niles. He, when he put it out, he said that he had heard a child singing it while he was going through and trying to catalog songs in the Appalachians, and that he paid him, you know, a cent per line or a nickel per line of the song so he could write it down, and he came out and it became this thing. It turned out later that he just wrote it and said he found it. But it's still a beautiful, beautiful song, and I used to sing this a lot. See if I remember how to play it, though. It's been a long time. It's called I Wonder As I Wander. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus, our Savior, did come for to die for poor, hungry people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of the ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky
or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing. He surely could have had it, 'cause he was the king. I wonder out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor hungry people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky.
It occurred to me, I haven't sung it since like 2006, maybe 2007. It's been a long time.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to play an ancient song called Tuning.
Okay.
Give me one moment.
No problem. That's good.
Let me hear real quick so I can tune. It's a thing.
Oh, that's a thing.
Tuning is a thing.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
So is Deli Deli.
Nope. Still not a thing.
All right. You good? You feel good on that?
About the tuning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel good about the tuning now.
All right.
Here we go. See how this goes.
West wind moves upon the fields of barley. You'll forget the sun in his jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while upon the fields of Bali. In his arms she fell as her hair came down among the fields of gold. Will you stay with me? Will you be my love upon the fields of Bali? We'll forget the sun in its jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold. I never made promises lightly. There have been some that I've broken. I swear in the day still left, we'll walk in fields of gold. We'll walk in fields of gold. Many years have passed since those summer days among the fields of Bali. See the children run as the sun goes down among the fields of gold. You'll remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of Bali. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky that we walked in fields of gold. That we walked in fields of gold. That we walked in fields of gold.
right, everyone. It is time for us to get into the return engagement segment. The number is 720-240-9766.
That's 72024. Hang on. I was all the way back there. 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back! Time for the return engagement. By the way, JT, can I share your moment of brilliance?
Sure.
Some people aren't going to know what this is. Maybe Philip will get it, a few people.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, Christine brought up, you saw something about a vodka drink with...
Yeah, it was dill pickle martinis.
Right.
Vodka martinis.
And so JT goes, well, that'd just basically be like a dirty martini, and then, of course...
It's olives.
That's olives, and it's not pickles. Yeah. I said, and then I said, of course, being the intelligent conversations that I am, I said, so what would you call a vodka drink if there was corn dogs in the glass? And JT said...
Jackie Moon.
And that was brilliant. If you know what I'm talking about, or you know what he's talking about, you'll think it's hilarious too. All right, let's move on. We've got I'm just gonna let that be inside and not even explain it. Let's head right now to Dennis.
No.
No.
Oh wait.
All right, up.
Oh my goodness. I forgot we got sponsors.
Yeah. You ready?
I'm so excited. Okay, so we talked a little bit last week.
Yeah.
We got it worked out. Okay, so now we're actually going to have a word from our sponsors.
Ready?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Swamp. What?
So, never mind.
Okay. It's okay.
Give me a job.
I still like the word. At least you got them.
Right.
Thank you for that. I'm troubled. Okay.
I'm vexed.
I'm severely vexed.
I'm so vexed.
Right. All right. Now we're gonna go to Michigan. Dennis will save us. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, hello, I'm back.
Welcome back.
He's back.
Well, thank you.
And I must say, James Rothline would really like your sponsor, because he's into brevity like that.
He really is, isn't he? Yeah.
Giving me heck about it. I work my fingers to the bone.
To the bone! All right, Dennis. Before we get carried away here, what do you have for us?
All right, I'm going to bring you another form poem. This time, I'm going to read a rectameter. It's a 9-line poem. You write it in by syllable counts, and the first line starts with two syllables, and it goes up. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Who do we appreciate? Oh, sorry.
And then back down 8, 9, 8, 8, 6, 4, 2, and it starts and finishes with the same word. So that's just a quick overview of a rectameter. The title of this rectameter is Mirror. Mirror. Reflecting glass. Echoing what it sees shows neither favor nor malice, reserves all judgment for the beholder, oft blamed for unkind visions, praised when beauty is found, silent witness, mirror. End of poem.
I like that form, actually.
Yeah, that's actually really neat.
It's a great form to work in. You ought to make it a form of the month one of these months.
You know, I bet when it's written out, it looks really cool, too, because it like starts small and then it builds out and then it comes back down.
Most of the time it's a center justification, so it gives it a diamond effect.
Yeah. It's art. With words.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I'm like...
That's what they called it, the literary arts.
I'm running on a very little
yes,
sleep.
Yes, you are, and a long flight and everything like that, so... No. Dennis, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I think I'm going to look up more of that, more work in that form.
All right. It's a good form to work in. And,
yeah, enjoy it.
It helps people work on their brevity, too, trying to put the meaning into a poem where you're working on a syllable level. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's a good suggestion to give that a try some month.
And, sure.
I hope others will try it, too. So I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. And that was Dennis kicking off the return engagement segment calling from Michigan here. Now we're going to be going to a little place I like to call...
All the Bamas.
All the Bamas. I'm never going to be able to say Alabama again without thinking all the Bamas. Damn it.
Hey, broke Michael.
And we got Stan from Alabama. Hello, Stan.
Hey, good evening, y'all. How you doing?
doing well.
That is an interesting form.
It is, isn't it? I was pretty fascinated. I hadn't heard of that one, I don't think, before.
Well, we have now.
Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, absolutely. As always, thank you, Dennis. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, this is a nice little piece that an old saying I heard, which is from the biblical, you know, as a child, as we grow up, we give up childish things. So I decided to write a poem as a child. As adults, what childish things do we let go? As the grown told us what to feel, how to think, where to go. Do we keep open hearts and open minds and eyes? Or do we suppress our real selves in a disguise of lies? Do we speak freely the truth we see without pretense? Or politically correct in our discourse as social self-defense. As a grown-up person puts away all childish things, loss of innocence and being jaded, replacements that sting. Honesty, humility, equality, childlike hearts, not fearing a fall. Put away some things, yes, as grown-ups we do. But not everything, my friends. Not all. And peace.
That was a really effective piece. And a really solid read as well. As always, Stan. I feel like I'm always saying that, but I mean it every damn time. It's a good, solid read.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is the place it all started for me, right here. The first time I ever did a spoken word in anything was right here.
No kidding.
I love this venue. This is home.
Oh, I love hearing that. And we're so happy to have you here. And please, you know, let's keep this moving. I think I love it.
Oh, yes, sir. And so do I. On to the next.
Thank you, sir. Stan, we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. That was Stan Collin from Alabama. Second slot here in the return engagement. Now, you know what would make a lot of sense right now, Christine?
What would make... There'd be a lot to make a lot of sense, but what?
North Dakota. Segway smooth like a baby's bottom. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
How'd you like that segue? I'm just... phoning him in tonight.
I'm not witty, so I have no idea how to respond.
Right. So Emily,
that's why I'm not an improv.
Well, you know what? Obviously, yeah. I'm not an improv either.
I guess not. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this piece is very
special to me. I was actually commissioned to write this piece after the Laramie Project as Fargo Moorhead Community Theater performed it. So this was in response to that production, and I titled it Vision. So if you don't know what the Laramie Project is, it was a play based on the events that happened in Laramie, Wyoming about 20 years ago. And the story comes through a little bit in the poem. So here we go. Vision. Over the years in this theater, Siege BH-12 has earned its lumps, its creaks and creases. And as I scan the program, I read of the plot and the actors. I see a single set with movable chairs, and I know from experience waiting backstage, 100 familiar characters are breathing deeply, and ready or not, the show will go on. I will notice the blinking house lights calling places for the audience. House lights will fade to half, followed by a sound cue, an announcement, and blackness. Lights up, go. I have been gifted an extra set of eyeglasses, not glasses that help me read or see the road as I drive in rain, but glasses that shield my sight. I do not mourn this lack of sight. It keeps me innocent. It keeps me from knowing the world is against me. Perhaps I have inherited this naivete from my father, who raised me to find the good first, then see the hard as pain, as struggle. My breath catches as I witness the fence, the buck fence. The buck fence is set upstage left. The fence could be used as a metaphor for distance from truth, maybe. In this case, though, the fence is not hyperbole or metaphor or simile. 20 years ago, the fence held a young man, 21, beaten, left for dead. Murdered because he lived his true self. I wonder if this true self was too foreign to others, not because they were born that way, but because, as Hammerstein famously penned, you've got to be carefully taught. As the curtain falls, my head drops forward. My fingers pick the rose-colored glasses off the bridge of my nose. We could have been so healthy. Instead, we are choosing this fear, these migraines, this anger, ulcers, any style of hurt to remind us we are still alive. But why must we not see the fly rehydrating from the dew of the banana leaf, or the notebook's overwritten pages, complete with folded corners, or post-it note-written textbooks? I mean, Sarah ate all of her peas tonight. I mean, the car started. My pillows have cases. Water is dripping into the cat dish, and you can still smell grandma on the Afghan 18 years later. What tint is embedded in the lenses you wear? I mean, some evils share a red deeper than roses. Do you see the leaves or the weeds? Petals? Thorns? How low do you wear your ball cap? A darkened, molded plastic protects your single set of eyes. Open them. Blink once or twice. Give your sight time to adjust. What will you see today? Shrubs or aphids? Pinto or manure? Infant or sin? I grew up seeing shrubs and all things green. I walk outside with my daughter, and I see the doting grandparents eager to converse with her stuffed puppy dog and help her giggle at fart noises. I walk outside with my son, 8 inches taller than I, visually 24, socially 16. I know his muted, solitary stroll across the mall may evoke alarm. My chiropractor adjusts the stress for my neck and shoulders. Bones realign, air pockets pop, crunch, and I grunt from the good pain, the relief. I am so heavy. Fresh out of the ocean, full of sand and salt, I pry the rose-colored glasses from the bridge of my nose, place them in my pocket this time. I remember my first set of rose-colored glasses. I was 10. All of us, my sister, myself, mom and dad, drove to dad's office 40 minutes away. We met a portly fellow outside the building. He wore a tattered white shirt, oversized jeans, and sneakers, a resident of the state hospital near downtown St. Louis. I squeezed daddy's hand. "It's okay, Muffy," he'd say. "These folks aren't dangerous. They're just sick." "Will I get a fever?" asked my sister. "Nobody. Their illness is in the brain. They are not contagious." Our lenses are not all filtering. They help us notice at times how different is not always dangerous. Just when we hide behind those lenses, when we remove them from our coat pockets and don them on a cloudy day, when they become part of our daily costume, moment by moment, inch by inch, molecule by molecule, our lenses become less transparent. They filter deeper shades until all we see is black or white, left or right, all or nothing. As I reflect and refract from this representation of feeling, in fact, the curtain falls. My head collapses into my hands. My palms cover a muted scream, and I see 20 years after Laramie, after Matt. Not much has changed, except now. Our stage whispers carry further, carry longer, hold more clout and attention, and our staged personas will morph into full characters with faces and names and facts and fury. And for this reason, we stand, sighted, and sing. End poem.
That's a very powerful piece, and it was written very very solidly for the occasion. I can hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for bringing the passion and the intensity that you do through it.
Thank you so much. I love you guys. You guys are so awesome. You're so much. You're just so great. I appreciate you all. Thank you,
Emily. We appreciate you too. Thank you so much. Okay. Happy New
Year.
All
right, have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Emily Kahn from North Dakota. Some really, really strong stuff there.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right, so let's go from that to Connecticut and visit again with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hey. Hey, Michael. I have to follow that.
I know. Well, honestly, if you really think about it, though, Barbara, any place, including following you, is not a great place to have to follow. So okay. It's just
well, thank
just
you,
up.
And I'm blushing. So this is a poem that was written to a prompt that you and JT gave us a couple of years ago for April Poem a Day.
Yeah.
And I read it to somebody. Somebody was a Charles Bukowski fan, and so I said, you know, I have a poem that I wrote like Charles Bukowski. And he said, really? He said, you have to write, you know, send it to me. So I thought about the poem again, and it's called If You Have a Dream. If you have a dream, follow it to the end. Don't wimp out before you finish. Ride that sucker until you have no breath and they are measuring you for your funeral clothes. Keep going when the hurricane of derision pours on you. Ignore it and build a tent to protect you as you forge on. And yes, keep on going. Never stop. You have a dream and you want to see it to the end. Maybe you will wind up in a pool of stagnant water, struggling to pull yourself out of it. But at least you will be trying and not hiding under the covers, saying to yourself what a loser you are. And if you do attempt and attain this height, don't invite me into it, because it's your dream and not mine. I already had mine, and now it's encased in the Technicolor movie of my mind. You have a whole lifetime to screw up or succeed. I am a useless shell with empty, broken dreams in my pocket. I'll throw them away, and then we can go for a nice long walk and talk about your dream and how I am glad it's not mine. End poem.
That is a pretty solid one there, Barbara. I don't know if you need to be concerned. Yeah, no, I thought that was really cool.
That was, yeah, that was me being Charles Bukowski, and it was such a freedom to write like that.
I can feel the impetus of Bukowski in that one. I mean, there's some, what is it? What's the one I'm thinking of? You know the one I'm talking. It's the
yes.
if you're gonna try, go all the way. Otherwise, don't ever start. Yeah, I just can't remember the name of the piece, but powerful, powerful stuff.
Yeah, he does that kind of stuff, and you know, it was just go for it.
do it all the way. Yeah,
you know, I don't do anything, you know, halfway. It's got to be all the way or nothing from me. So anyway, you guys, glad you were able to get this show going tonight, and
so are we.
I'm glad I got to read twice. Okay, talk to you later. And Emily, I just want to say in public that that poem was awesome, and you deserve the prize. So don't ever apologize for anything about that poem. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
So I'm getting off.
All right.
Good night, and let the other person read.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. Bye. And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut. It has been a pretty strong segment so far.
Yes, it has.
All right. And now we're going to go to a man who makes me always question what I'm saying. Let's go to Don in California. Hello, Don.
Hi, hi. Can you hear me? I'm playing with this thing, and I don't know whether or not I'm being heard. I apologize.
Oh, it's all right. We can hear you just fine.
Okay. I'm going to ask a favor of those people who are in the chat room and who are listening. If you are using the Mixer page, to the far right-hand side, you have four colored blotches. Each one is representing a way of communicating out of the page. You have Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and your own mail. I have been sending out on Facebook invitations to those people who have not read, just by stamping it and then putting in the text, come on, listen, read one of your poems on international online radio. And so I'd like to get at least one or two new people, you know, that with the community is so supportive.
That's
and it
awesome,
would be
Don.
Nice
thank
to
you.
Have. So,
thank you. For
and
that.
Then the last question on that was: is there a way of getting locked in?
Getting locked in.
Isn't that one of the service social?
LinkedIn. LinkedIn. I think, you know, one of the ways that I found you could probably, if you're going to send an invitation, I would just directly sit, you know, share the website URL and then say something above it. That's what I would do.
Okie doke. Thanks.
Yes,
thanks.
Of course.
Now we're going to the poem that I chose. Emily gave me courage. Thank you, Emily, for giving me courage. This poem's title is Look of the Gasoline. Pests yet again have committed theft, stolen my encased glasses from my duffel bag. They have disappeared in their cheapness, not leaving a trail of breadcrumbs nor a unique stone dung bath for me to fall in
and from which to retrieve. The government promises air to breathe, but leaves only the aroma of the wet soil of spiritual diarrhea. Liquid gas conserves business profits in pools. Liquid gas makes misery first flow, then cold, then hard. If you don't put refined dung into your whiskey sour of the car, what else will make it shake, shatter, quake, and roll in dourness? Gas locks only become solid to understand when frozen by logic into holding handcuffs magnified by imagination, and to be remembered by the keys of halfwits who turn to unlock like me. End of poem. The train is rodent pests, government, gasoline fumes. And I'll leave you with that, and hopefully somebody can come up and do something good. Thank you, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Don.
Appreciate it.
But how do you turn it off?
we'll turn it up.
No
All right.
worries.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Thank you.
And that was Don calling from California. Number five here in the return.
Always good stuff.
He's always good. And that's the thing. It's like every time he calls, I always feel like I get hit from another angle.
Yeah.
It reminds me of doing martial arts for years and years and years and doing a lot of, you know, sparring and things like that. Eventually you start being able to kind of figure out, oh, this person's doing this. He has this kind of tendency, or she has this kind of tendency. So because I've kind of learned how to draw out people's tendencies, now I know how to counteract it. But occasionally you would meet these fighters who they would set you up and you do something and suddenly, bam, they just take. So they were playing certain tendencies to get you to respond this way, which they now could totally take advantage of you. And not that I'm saying Don does that, because I don't feel like he does. However, it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
It's whatever I do, it always is the other way. You know, it's pretty fascinating stuff. All right. Now we're going to go to
Arizona.
And we're going to visit with
Mary's Blush.
But Mary is also blushing because we're having that issue with Skype again. So, Mary, you're going to have to give us a call back, because if you can hear us, we cannot hear you.
Mary.
We're going to take her live. We're going to take her live.
That's right.
Alive and live.
We're going to do it live.
Yeah, we're going to do it live.
I swear, I'm going to put out that thing for everybody to get on Skype somehow.
Yeah, definitely should.
All right.
Hello, Mary. Welcome back.
Don't make me be clever. It's after 10.
I know. Trust me. I know. Think about the people back east. Think about Tony. He's living in the future.
Look at that. Oh, my God. We're in all kinds of climate and time. Here we go. I got nothing. I got my little tidbit, and it's like 10 seconds.
All right.
Maybe not 30 seconds. I'm not even going to put music to the back. Whatever it is, isn't it nice to be among friends? I call this laughter in the nighttime hours. Laughter in the nighttime hours, when all is calm, unlessened in my mind, except the meandering, lingering, tending thoughts of you, encroaching on my slumbered rest, entombed within my tainted nest. I hear you call upon my moon, nestled there in my continuance. I see your smile and feel your calm. Near my solitary moments now, I allow you here, with me sometimes to these places that we go to when we feel the need for nighttime laughter and poem.
Just beautiful as always.
Oh, you make me blush like a Mary. Whatever. Good night, guys.
Hey,
have a good one.
You too.
Happy weekend.
Mm-hmm. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next time, okay? And that was Mary calling from Arizona. I always just like her work. I mean, it's just authentic to the core.
Yeah.
I never feel like it's a put on. Ever. You know?
Ever, ever.
Ever, ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Forever, ever, ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Forever, yeah. It's really easy for me to get going.
I was going to say, I'm like, you're falling into it, aren't you? You know you want to.
Hypnotic pattern.
It's so weird.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Forever, ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Actually, that's my aversion to marriage as I wake up. Forever, ever. All right, let's go now back to Michigan. Let's visit with George. George, it is the same issue by the that we're having. If you could call us back, we'd appreciate it. Titus and Mama, who are the next ones online, is very likely going to be the same issue, with the exception of Titus,
because
Titus calls over Skype. So never mind, Titus. But Mama, you're most likely going to have to hang up and call back again as well. We apologize about
when
that.
When it's your turn, we'll let you know.
It's funny how many updates we do, and we're always told it's going to be fixed, but
yeah,
it never is fixed.
Never gets fixed. George is on now.
Hey, George. Welcome back.
Hey.
All right.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back. I know it's getting late.
I know. What time is it where you are? Is it after midnight?
12:20.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right.
And the carriage came by, and I sent it away without, anyway. This one is another one of my, Rose Water kind of poems. I wrote it about the first few months I started poetry in last year, 2 years ago, whatever. It's called Holding Your Children, Holding Your Grandchildren. The candle burns quickly. With the tiniest of hands and roundest of faces, they lure you in, drawing you close to feel the warmth of their heads, see the lilt of their smiles, touch the wisps of their hair, enhance your own value by their dependence. You are soberly aware of the shortness of their time needing you. Hold them close. The candle of time burns quickly. With bright eyes following you, they share this new world of yours, which they deserve the best of, but is bestowed to them, soiled. The tiny hands grip your finger, and the doll-like feet jump about. You bring your best and warmest game, your graceful kindness. Hold them close. The candle of time burns quickly. A face of purity, a mouth of smiles. The eyes are chocked with trust. Holding them minds out what is left of your purity, and you try to pass it on to them. You deign to shore up yourself with their reliance. You try to absorb some of the soft pinkness of them into yourself. Hold them close. The candle of time burns quickly. Before the grandchildren came, you were unaware that there was a hole to fill. They are the new proof that there was some reason you grew their parents. The love you bequeath them will not be in the genes, but soaked up in the hands of their grandparents. Look into their eyes. Give unabashed approval. Stream love at them, even if you reach somewhere for it. Hold them close. The candle of time burns quickly. In peace.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very nice, George.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. What did you think, Christine?
I loved it.
Yeah. As always, thanks for staying up late for us.
You guys are too young to be grandparents.
Yes.
But and thank your lucky stars. No.
No, grandparenting is much cooler than being than parenting, by the way. That's a poem for another time, I guess. I got quite a list, and it's getting late, so I will slide away from here.
All right. Hey, George, thanks so much for everything, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
I do, too.
All right. Thank you. Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan. He's number 7 out of 9 in the return engagement. All right. Now we're going to try to see if we can get the Titus call to work here. I'm sure it will. Let's give it a shot. In the UK. Hello, Titus. You there?
Yes, I am. Yes,
all right. Beautiful.
The little square at the top disappeared. I thought I'd come off of Skype for a moment.
Oh, no. Well, we're glad that you didn't. We're glad that everything's working out.
Yeah. I've got a small poem here. It's quite a long time ago I wrote this one. Lucretius, I came across this man who supposedly had died due to a love potion. That got me quite interested in the man himself, and I started reading his one poem, which people say there's nothing much known of this man. So I've, over many years, dissected his poem and tried to get a feel for what this man is like. And this poem is called Titus the Poet. It's not about me. His enigmatic verse, with the heading, I get a true sense of feeling from his works, this man they call Lucretius, with that title. This triumphant, by what you've added, Titus, trying to exclaim sanctify of what detritus tormenting him means he'd write with politeness, ushered by arousal with what it becomes thus sophisticated, if not to explain it as effectuous, to believe eccentricity as a liability, to discuss his own despise as conversely how superfluous enough nature, he's called his enigmatic verse, portraying life he feels without the conscious omens, depicting so worthy such for notice, ending with what is found from this analysis as transcends the theory, him being superstitious. End the poem. I find these poets, philosophers from ancient times were very in themselves. I don't think that they were very social myself to actually fall in love, but with what I ask. So the verse is a little bit of discord in there to actually make us think about what's going through their minds, you know?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
100%.
The ancients, I don't know if they were boring people. Maybe I've caught the bug, I think.
I spend a lot of time going into the ancients, though. You know, and I've actually been doing as a project for a book a little bit later in the year. I've been doing a lot of work with the Stoics, yeah. and Aurelius and all of them as well. And I've spent a lot of time with the ancient writings.
Their writing is very similar to Shakespeare's, and I'm just wondering if maybe his style has come the same way as I've tried to. I wouldn't say copy, replicate in ways that to actually you can actually. Yeah. Twist the words round, the lines round, to make a discord and therefore make it feel old.
Yeah.
And I quite like doing that.
That's lovely. And it really informs the style, and it creates the own unique voice that I think you have, Titus.
On the other radio program over in New Jersey, which I'm on, they say this, old world soul.
Yeah.
I get a feeling that... I'm keeping it a little lit because many people like the modern verse and they come away from the classic form. And I feel that a few of us would like to keep it, to be honest, to honor the classic masters of the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a love of language and a fluidity of language that is lost on a lot of modern writers.
I apologize to everyone for being so different.
Not at all. That's what we love. We love it. All
anyway,
right. Thank you, sir. Really, thank you, and we'll talk to you next time, hopefully.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus calling us from the UK. Beautiful. Now, last but not least, the person who started this show tonight, Mama Oladeji. Mama, you're going to need to call us back. We're still having that Skype issue. All right, JT, you want to just end it?
Yeah.
Maybe she'll call back.
Yeah.
For some reason, it always seems to work to do that better. I don't know why. It's not that we're trying to be rude and hang up on people. It just moves things along pretty quick. There she is. All right, let's just take her live.
Okay.
Hello, Mama.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right, we got you now. Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, wow.
I know.
I mean, this one great show. I mean, everybody. I didn't get to comment on everybody because I was digging for poems, but I heard everybody. I'm talking about everybody. I'm not just saying it. I'm saying everybody was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I made a new friend, Emily. She is a poet after my own heart. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's up there with Marion Barb.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yes, I'm telling you. So I'm going to try to make an impression and read something that I hardly ever read because it's about my adopted son. This is a story from South Beach. And my adopted son was named Matthew. And he looked a lot like Jesus. And I'm going to read you his story. It's called Raphael, a ballad. The name rolled off of his tongue so gaily. He seemed to be fulfilled by just saying, Raphael. Matthew's wheels were spinning. This was the one who could save him from the wild and crazy life on South Beach as a waiter. Blonde, blue-eyed, slim, statuesque man from New York found the dark and tan, gorgeous Greek of fantasy and a treasure that had now become his reality. Every thought of Raphael would delight the eyes of Matthew with pleasure. He walked on his tiptoes almost as a ballerina when he spoke the name Raphael. Raphael, rich, handsome, and happy. Matthew waited each day joyfully to greet Raphael. He wanted to jump into Raphael's sports car and parade in front of the coconuts and mangoes. As Raphael zoomed up, Matthew was with wings. He took off and he was about to hover when the signal was, "Do not come any closer." Raphael waved him off. He looked so sad and surprised. His eyes. He soon saw why, and much to Matt's surprise, he watched the undercover unload the Porsche with what they had discovered. I, as Matt's surrogate mother, witnessed Matt's moonlit eyes wane. I shared in his pain, thinking New Yorkers should know better. Still, I held him as he cried. He survived to tell the tale. But off in the distance, Matt did stare as one last time he spoke the name, Raphael. In peace.
Wow, Mama. You started the show with a bang. You're closing it with one.
We were a sight, yeah. So one day I told Matthew to come follow me over town. We leave South Beach. We're going to go over town and look for what we wanted, right?
Yeah.
And he went with me. He's like, Mama, you're going to get my little white ass killed.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He was just the sweetest thing. I just wish I never lost contact with him. And, I got a lot of stories from South Beach. And you heard a couple of them before, but this was a great show. I have enjoyed myself tonight, and I just think we're growing in grace and we're getting better and better. And I just can't wait to get my books. I ordered both of them. They should be coming real soon.
All right.
So make an announcement about the books so we don't forget about them, because I almost did.
All right. All right. I'll make a point to do so as well.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, ending our return engagement segment here on the show. I think it's been a really great show. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You enjoy it?
Solid work.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
I'm happy Christine came back safely. This is all good stuff. I'm sure it's snowing even more outside.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's beautiful. Everybody, thanks so much for calling. Thanks so much for spending your Friday night with us. It does mean a lot to us. Remember, once again, the 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology is now available on Amazon. It does help go directly to fund the show. It actually is straight from there. Anything we make goes right into the show. There's nothing else that happens with it.
Nothing into our pockets.
Yep, nothing at all. And so we really
nothing
appreciate
up our sleeves.
If you're wearing sleeves.
Ta-da! Okay.
So, basically, thank you so much for your support. We love it. If you want to help support us, that's a great way to do so. Other than that, we'll be back next week. So, from myself, from JT, from Christine, from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, thank you. We'll see you next week. And until then, keep writing. Good night.